That is quite a thought, isn't it? I just keep thinking, as I think about the Lord's return, I've mentioned this to you before numerous times. The hope of the believer, expecting his return, I do believe that the Apostle Paul thought he was going to be alive when the Lord returned again, as he wrote to the Thessalonians, "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." And I think he thought, it's going to be that soon. He's coming that quickly. Even though they had written in those epistles things concerning the future, and I think, man, and we look at world situations, and down through the ages, things have been terrible, and the believers have thought, well, it's got to be soon, it's got to be quick, surely it's going to be now. And yet we still just keep a plugging along, don't we? Year after year after year. One of these times, perhaps this year, even so, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. I trust you're ready. He's not going to announce his coming. He's going to come suddenly. But when he comes, he's only taking home those that are ready to meet him. Well, let's once again just thank the Lord for the time that's ours tonight. We do praise you, Father, for your word. We thank you for truth that we find in it, and I pray that you would be glorified in this new topic that we've chosen to spend some Sunday nights on. If you tarry in the coming days, we pray you'd get the glory in it. And I trust you will guide me, lead me, fill me with your Spirit, that I would say what ought to be said and be kept from saying what you don't want said. And we'll thank you in our Savior's name. Amen. I don't know. Remember, I mentioned this morning, I shared with you that we are planning on tonight starting a new series of studies in our Sunday evening. And we're going to be looking at things we know. Our message this morning could have qualified, and it was one of the references that I had jotted down that would certainly have lent itself as fuel for a message. Remember Job's words in Job 19, verse 25, when he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." For you note takers, I would just recommend, if you want to just jot Job 19, 25 and 26 as a good section of scripture that would certainly qualify for topics of things we know, that would be a good portion. Andrew, here's our title for this. This is real original. So be ready there, Andrew. This one's called That's What I Know. Isn't that original? Really a good one, wasn't it? That's What I Know. Our text for this is Psalm 119, verses 65 through 75. And there's going to be a variety of topics covered with that common connection, the author's knowledge regarding a particular truth relating to the Lord. And having said that, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 65. And I've called verse 65 our first point, his overview, the psalmist's overview in Psalm 119, verse 65. Why do you call it the overview? It says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Here we see the psalmist is referring to a learning experience, and we find that as he is about to unfold and share the truths that are in the verses to follow, he looks at it kind of the whole situation. And he realizes, you've dealt well with me, Lord. I think if we are truthful, we should all say that. Wouldn't you agree? Is there any of us that God has not dealt well with us? You say, well, what about the old ungodly and, you know, those folks? You know that he causes the sunshine to shine on the wicked, and he sends the rain on the wicked just as faithfully as he does on the most righteous person. He has dealt well with all of us. And so that's his overview of this. Now, he's going to be mentioning God's well dealings with him. And we're going to be seeing that what God has done and these, you have dealt well with me. He's going to get a little bit more specific in these verses, and I trust it'll be a blessing. Having said that, number two, let's notice in verse 67, his second point that I want to call your attention to. Let's see his admission here in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. He's admitting something here. And what he is admitting is there was a time when his life was not in line with the Lord as it should have been. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, he said. What was it? We don't know. But we find that he knows about something, and he is just admitting to the Lord truth in this well-dealing experience that he referred to in verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant. How, David? Well, here's one of the ways that he dealt with me. There was a time when my life was out of line. I was going astray. And he was referring to something in the past. And to when it says he went astray, we're told this means to commit sin or error. That's what he's referring to. He didn't mention what it was, but he just said, there was a time when I was committing sin. I was not doing the right thing. Off course. Sin. Is sin always intentional or willfully committed? I mean, we say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Does that mean he was intentionally doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing? Or could he have accidentally been doing something that he should not have been doing? Unintentionally doing something. You say, well, all sin is intentional. Yes or no? No. Do you know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, chapter 5, and in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, we're not turning to it. But the common denominator in those three chapters in the Old Testament is guidance to God's people of what they are supposed to do when they discover they have committed a sin of ignorance. That's what it was called. Sins of ignorance. And especially in the two chapters in Leviticus, it goes right down. It starts with the priest. It goes with the ruler of the people. It goes with the, takes it right down through the social ladder of individuals. There were guidelines given to, didn't matter who it was, if you discovered that you had committed a sin of ignorance, you didn't realize what you were doing was wrong, but suddenly you realize, oh no, I should not have done that. Or I should have, and I didn't unintentionally. The Lord had made a provision as far as the Old Testament sacrifices. There was a way for them to get that sin forgiven and their sins covered once again by the blood. David did not identify what it was. He just admitted its reality. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It seemed as though whatever it was, it had a direct connection to obedience to the Word of God. Why do you say that, David? Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, whether intentionally or ignorantly. But now have I kept your word. Now there is a change, and now I find myself consciously doing what your word says I ought to be doing. In verse 68, we see, consequently, in afterthought about what he is admitting here, we see him saying he is admiring the Lord. You are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your word. Again, he is referring to the fact that, again, we go back. What is it that the overview? David is writing about some experience he has had. Verse 65, you have dealt well with me, Lord. I know that. I know that. And you dealt with me according to your word. Now, before I was afflicted, before you caused some trials, before some hardships came, I was going astray. I was sinning, whether it was intentional, whether it was unintentional. The whole point is, it took what for David to realize that his life was not where it ought to be? Huh?
Affliction.
Have you ever known anybody? Have you ever known anybody that it seemed as though that was the only way God could get their attention? Is just send some affliction. It's too bad that sometimes we're so stubborn, isn't it? That God wants to pour blessings upon us and we go astray. And it seems as though there are some of us that the only way the Lord can ever get our attention, it's an A word. Don't laugh, Margo. The only way he can get our attention is to bring affliction. I don't want to see any raised hands, but I wonder if that's ever happened in your life. As you think back to perhaps maybe what your relationship was to the Lord, and you knew better, but you just kept digging your heels in and you kept insisting. And the only way, God, it seemed as if he could get your attention was to send some form of affliction to you. Now, affliction, we looked at Job this morning. Wouldn't you say he was afflicted? Sure he was. Was he doing anything wrong? Certainly not. He was afflicted because he had such a radiant testimony for the glory of the Lord, and God allowed him to be an example of faithfulness. And the affliction it wasn't because he was out of line with his life. It was because God had other reasons for it. As we think of this, as we look at this second point, we looked at verse 67, his admission here. Before I was afflicted, and we have no way of knowing what it is that David is referring to by the use of this word affliction here. We don't know. He didn't identify it. And he's going to use it a couple more times here. Obviously, it was some form of something unpleasant, some form of trial, some challenge, but God used it to get his attention, verse 67, to show him that I've been going astray. Now, I'm keeping your word, and I'm thankful for your word, verse 68, and I wish you'd just continue to teach it to me, verse 68. Let's move on. And let's see, still under this heading of admission, let's drop our eyes down to verse 71. Now, what is he admitting? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes or your word. It's a little bit different admission here. Back in verse 67, he was admitting, you know, my life was not what it ought to have been. And the Lord used an affliction, and now I'm keeping his word. And in verse 71, he adds something else. And what is that? What is he admitting now? He's what? He's learning God's word. He's also learning, he's admitting something else. It was good for me. How many of us are so quick to admit that when the affliction comes, boy, this is good for me. This is good for me. I don't think that's usually our response, is it? So many times we throw up our arms and we're hollering at the top of our lungs, why this? Why is this happening to me? What have I done wrong? What brought this on? Again, we don't know what form of affliction this was. We just know that David, the psalmist, is understanding something. He's understanding that if it had not been verse 67, for God bringing some form of affliction his way, he would still be sinning. He would still have been going astray. But God brought that, and he's shown me his word, and now I'm trying to be obedient to his word. And in verse 71, that understanding has deepened a bit to the point where he's saying, you know, when I stop and think about this, it's a good thing that God brought that affliction to me, so that I might learn his word. Isn't that an unusual admission for someone? We would all like to credit ourselves for being of a better mentality and state of mind than that. But really what David is saying, it's a good thing that this happened to me, because if it hadn't, I would have still just been going astray. I wouldn't have been learning what I've been learning. Do you find yourself thanking the Lord? In everything, give thanks. I believe Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. You mean we're to be give thanks for affliction when it comes? Yeah. Because God has a design for it. Because God has a reason for it. And so he says in verse 71, it's been good for me to be afflicted, so that I could learn the statutes that he had for me. It has been a learning process through the trial. He has been growing in the knowledge of God's word. He is learning the statutes, the particulars about God's word. In contrast to verse 67, Back there, you used the affliction to show me what was wrong. Now, the afflictions are showing me what is right. Because you're showing me truth in your word. In verse 72, we discover the afflictions have opened his eyes to the benefits of God's word. And in verse 72, he is admitting that God's word has become invaluable to him. Where do you get that? The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You know, if you had your choice, God's word or money, what would you take? Here we see the psalmist is saying, through this experience, I have come to realize what a treasure your word is to me, Lord. So much so that I find it more valuable to me than if somebody were to offer me gold and silver. I want what I am gaining from your word. And that brings us then to number 3, verse 75. We saw his overview. We saw his admission in verse 67, 71. But in verse 75, he shares with us his assurance. His assurance. And this is where we come with our title. That's what I know. He is sure of something. And listen to what he says. He says in verse 75, I know. There's our topic. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. Judgments are right. What is that? What is a judgment? If a judgment is made on something, it is a decision. Someone determines, this is what's going to take place. I know that your judgments are right. And the word right here is the same word as righteous in numerous references throughout the Old Testament. Your judgments are righteous. I know that. And what else is he assured of? And that you, in faithfulness, have afflicted me. It's demonstration of your faithfulness as my loving God that you have stopped me in my tracks. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, verse 67. Now I keep your word. Your word, it's more valuable to me. I have learned through this. I have come to see that the affliction, whatever it was, how uncomfortable was it? How painful was it? How embarrassing was it? We don't know what it was. But he says in verse 71, I've come to realize that it was good for me that you did that. And I have come to realize, I'm positive, I'm sure, verse 75, that every decision you've made about me is right. You don't make mistakes with my life. That's a good verse for us to keep in our mind as we are embarking on this new year. We need to keep reminding ourselves that I know your judgments are right. I don't know what God's going to bring across your path. I don't know what he has lined up for me. He's got a plan. If he tarries his return, what's it going to be? Here is his assurance. And the psalmist, through this experience here, verses 65 through 75, he said, I have come to realize, first of all, that what I was doing wasn't right. And I've come to realize that because you stopped me in my tracks, that was good for me. And now I am positive, I'm sure that all of your judgments are right and that the affliction you sent to me was a demonstration of your faithfulness to me. You, in faithfulness, afflicted me. That's quite a different outlook toward hardships, isn't it? God's dealings with him were according to one of God's divine attributes, faithful. He is referred to, let me just give you some references here. You don't need to turn to it. Deuteronomy 7, 9. He is God, the faithful God. And in faithfulness you afflicted me. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. It's good for me, and I know that in faithfulness you afflicted me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Because he doesn't string us out and hang us out to dry and forsake us. He is a faithful God. Revelation 1, 5, Christ, the faithful witness. And what is it that the psalmist is assured of here? I know. Your judgments are right. You don't make any mistakes. And that you, in faithfulness, sent all of that affliction to me. It was for my good. It was for my benefit. And here we see David thanking God for the trial. May God help us. May God help us. Whatever it was, he knew that God's dealings were in faithfulness because of God's care for him. And in the end result, David knew that because of God being such a faithful God, he was better for it at the end. May God teach us. May God teach us in this coming year so that we too, like David, can say, that's what I know about God. That's what I know. I can't always explain what he's doing. I can't always answer. But I know that everything he does is right and it's for my benefit. May God help us to grow in our faith and trust in him. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, sometimes when the trials come, we are tempted to question rather than to draw close. Sometimes when we don't understand what's happening, we find ourselves so quick to voice all kinds of theories we have and all kinds of explanations. We don't know what it was that David was referring to in these verses under the heading of afflictions, but we saw a progression. As he first brought up the topic and said, Before the affliction came, he was not walking where he should have been. He was going astray. But you drew him to your word. And you showed him that it was actually a good thing. He had learned to appreciate what he was discovering from your word. And finally, he came to the place where he knew that the affliction you had caused had brought growth, development, betterment in his own life. May we so trust you, Father, that you can have free course in our lives, and may we, like David, respond favorably to your glory. Dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way, and we'll thank you in your name. Amen.